Stay here. Sometimes when she does that, I want to go. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to say this morning, enjoyed those songs. And that one, that new one that we learned. So we appreciate Miss Donna helping us learn the timing and figure it out, because I was trying, and some of it I got right, some of it I didn't. Alana did a great job, didn't she?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate you young people coming up and helping us too. Y'all probably got word of that song, I would assume. We got one more that's a mix like that I think would be great. And I couldn't help this morning as we were up here singing. I got to thinking about Brother Keith looking down and being proud of what was done this morning. You know, God's done a lot of things to bless this church. You know, God loves his people. God loves you this morning. If you're here, you're in the house of the Lord. God cares about you. And he's glad you're here, and we're glad you're here. The great song that Mandy sang, God is faithful. We need God, don't we? We need God to be faithful, and he is, and we need what he has for us. Before we get into the scripture, we're going to be reading in Genesis chapter number 49 this morning. I just want to say again, thank you. Those up in the sound booth, they ended up coming up. We appreciate Brother Chris and Mr. Pope coming. And they got our projector fixed, okay? Right over in the corner over here, if y'all want to check it out, we do have a lift over here now that the church bought that'll allow us to keep this stuff working properly. So we had new projectors, but we needed a cable fixed, so we got that, and we're thankful for that. We appreciate Brother Rusty and Chris and Preston and Miss Teresa up in the sound booth. We appreciate the grass cutters. Appreciate the Awana workers. We appreciate the children's church workers and the nursery workers, and we're glad this morning just to have you. And sometimes people, I have actually had people say this to me, well, I don't really have nothing to offer. They have no idea. And I've told people this. Just me seeing you on Sunday morning, how important it is. And if you ain't got nothing else to do, I want to ask you to do this. Pray for me and pray for Brother Allen. We are in a time today where what we stand for is under such an attack. And we are under attack every day. And we need your prayers because we want to stand strong. But I will tell you that every person, no matter how strong you think you are, you have your limitations. And if you think you can do it without God, you will find out you cannot. So we need your prayers. I want to also say to the church, thank you for your continued giving. We know there are a lot of folks that are giving online now and through PayPal, and we thank you for that. It's very important. It is important because we want to take care of the affairs of the church. But God has a plan for Hiram First Baptist Church. Amen. We want to be prepared to do the things that God would have us to do in this community. And I mentioned to somebody this morning, and I want you to be thinking about this. Now, I know it's been a tough, tough year with all this pandemic stuff, and there are still folks who are legitimately not ready to come back to church because this virus is still out there. But we want to be ready when the time comes to welcome people when they're ready to come back. And when people are ready, when you're ready. But a lot of things have happened, and there are a lot of churches that have not continued strong. Well, this one has, and I thank you. It's because of your continued giving, and we appreciate that. We do want you to be in prayer. We did have one person who was here last Sunday who tested positive for COVID on Thursday. They did not have any symptoms until Thursday, and they said they were having actually other issues that caused them to go to the doctor, but they said they had just cold-like symptoms, and I don't think it's real serious. But I want to make you aware of that. Here's what you need to do. People say, well, what do? We monitor ourselves. And if you have symptoms, you go to the doctor. If you're sick, please stay home. We want you here. But if you're sick, you shouldn't get out because you don't know and share that with others. But, you know, it is getting better and things are progressing. It's gonna get back to where we can have regular services. And we will be talking about the time as far as to whether or not we're going to move it back to regular worship time. And we're going to wait a little bit about that because we don't want to be too early and then have to change things back in case there happens to be, you know, a rebirth of this virus and that it gets worse. So please be in prayer for those things. If you got your Bible, let's look at Genesis chapter number 49. And this morning, what's on my heart, and I have preached on this before in the past, so if some of it sounds familiar to you, it's because of that, but it's going to be different because I believe that the thing that allows a preacher that preaches basically the way that I believe God's called me to preach is to preach where the power's at. Well, what do you mean by that? That means I must absolutely follow the Spirit of God. You know, I can stand up and teach through the Bible if you want me to do that, and I actually had a preacher tell me one time that that's the way I ought to do it. Well, I told him he ought to follow the Spirit of God, and that's just the way that I believe God's called me. And this is what's on my heart this morning, and I want to preach on getting over the wall. You know, everybody's got walls in their lives, and I want to look at some scripture, and I want you to see the words of Jacob's prophecy concerning his sons. And what he spoke about as he spoke concerning his sons. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to be able to read all of this long chapter, but I want to encourage you to go back, especially young people. It would be good for you to go back and read what Jacob said about his 12 sons. Some of the things he said about them were positive, but some of them were very, very negative. And when he starts off speaking about Reuben, in the fourth verse, he says this, and this is not what we're going to preach about, but I want to give you an idea of where we're going to go. He said, Reuben, you are as unstable as water, and you shall not excel. Now, when you look at these things, and I pay attention to it, I want to be like God wants me to be. Two of my favorite characters in the Word of God are Joseph, that we're going to be preaching about, and the other is Daniel. Now, if you look at them, both of them were taken into captivity. And what I want you to understand as we get into this is because just because of your circumstances doesn't mean God can't do something great in your life. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 49. We want to read verse number 1. Then we're going to go down to verse number 22 and read just a couple of verses. It says, and Jacob called his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. And then he begins a prophecy concerning his sons, and he goes through them until we get down to Joseph in the 22nd verse, verse number 22. And he says of Joseph, he said, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, and blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Now, the first part of the 22nd verse, I want to read it again. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall.
Now, as we look at this, I want to break down this scripture, these few verses, for just a minute and give you some things to look at and think about. When it says Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a bough by a well, that was basically a branch of a tree that bears forth very much fruit. If we flip over to Psalms chapter number 1, I want to give you something that runs parallel. It speaks like this. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now we could actually take that Psalms chapter number 1 in that third verse, and we could take it and look at the parallels as Jacob began to speak about Joseph. You see, he was blessed in Potiphar's house. He was blessed in the prison. He was blessed everywhere that he went, even under the rule of Pharaoh, because God had his hand on him, and he had his eyes and his mind on God. If you look at the 23rd verse, when it's speaking about Joseph, as Jacob spoke about him, he said, "The archers have sorely grieved him. They have harassed him. They have shot at him, and they have hated him." And here's what I want you to understand. Sometimes in doing the work of the Lord or trying to do what's right, you can't always expect everybody, just because you're trying to do the right thing, to come by and say, "Hey, we love you. Hey, we appreciate you. Hey, we thank you for what you're doing." No, sometimes what you're going to do is you're going to be persecuted. You may be the only one in the classroom that stands up and says, "I'm not going to be that way." I can remember one time I was on a job site, and I was just a teenager. It was before I'd even met my wife. And now, I was saved when I was 12. I was called to preach in the 9th grade. And by the time I was 18, I was absolutely sold out, just as much as I am today. Okay? That's just the way that God worked in my life. And I'll tell you, I've said this before, I had a daddy that was the example in my life, that was a mountain to me. Okay? So I thank God for that. But I can remember being on a job site before I met my wife, and I was talking to a young man, and he was a Christian, but he was struggling because he was being harassed. He was being hated. He was being persecuted. And he told me a story about his girlfriend being in her class in high school and how she was being ridiculed because she was trying to live a godly life. And folks, I want to tell you, I've talked to people about it before. I've been on job sites before, to when I felt like Jeremiah, when the bulls, and like it says in the book of Psalm 22, the bulls of Bashan compassed me about, and they gaped upon me with their mouth. That was a picture of Christ on the cross. But I want to tell you something, if you live for God, you're going to experience something like that too. Amen. You might have to stand up and say, "I don't care what everybody's doing, I'm going to serve God. I don't want to be like you." I heard a young lady one time over at Macklin Baptist Church stood up and spoke to the youth group and gave her testimony. And she said, "I stood up in my class and I told my friends it would be easy for me to be like you. It would be harder for you to be like me." Let me tell you, can we not say that about Joseph? Can we not say that about Joseph as he stood before his brethren and God had his hand on him? God had his hand on Joseph. God had a plan for Joseph's life. And even his own brothers, they hated him. They persecuted him. What did they do? Didn't they throw him in a pit? They even took thought of killing him. And one of his brothers said, "No, let's take profit from him." And they sold him, their own brother, to the Ishmaelites. But God still had his hand on him. And let me tell you something. If you've got your hand on God, God's got his hand on you. Don't think just because you're in a pit that there is no God. Don't think just because you're in slavery there is no God. Don't think just because you've been sold into captivity and you're in a foreign land and you're even listening to a foreign language and you're being in a position that you're trying to figure out what tomorrow is going to hold, that there is no God. Joseph is there But the 24th verse says this: "But he abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob." As I sat yesterday, and sometimes I just sat and look at God's creation and talk to him, I was sitting trying to stay dry as the rain beat down, and I was sitting under a little tin roof, and I began to look around at the leaves falling, and I saw the red, and I saw the orange, and I saw the yellow, and I looked, and I thought of how great God is in God's creation, and I thought of God's hand, and I thought about this church, and I began to go through this church and think about so many families dealing with so many things, and they've got so many walls to get over. I thought about mine. I got walls too. And I thought about the prayer of Jabez. You see, Jabez was named something that his name actually was a prophecy against him. But when you go through those names and you come down to Jabez and it stops, it pauses for just a minute. It says, "But Jabez called upon the name of the Lord and said, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me." And then the scripture said, "And God granted him that which he requested." You see, Joseph was made strong. How? Not by himself. It wasn't about Joseph. It was about the God that Joseph served. And then the 25th verse says that he was blessed and helped by God. And then you go down to the 26th verse, it not only was he blessed, but he was delivered. And that word progenitors, it means forefathers or ancestors. You know, sometimes people say this about people. I don't like to hear this, but I've heard it, and I heard it recently. It actually bothered me. They said something about blood goes farther than people think. You know what they were referring to? Because the bloodline that you have, you're going to have problems because they had a problem. You know, there's a verse in the Old Testament that said, "No more will the fathers eat a sour grape and the children's teeth be set on edge." You know what that means? You'll stand before God, not before what your forefathers or ancestors did, but for what you do. It's a personal relationship with the living God. And I'm not going to hear any of this. We can't break the generational curse. I want to tell you something. God's got a plan for your life, and what you need to do is get hooked up with him and follow it. Yes. Amen. See, even though they hated him, sold him, mistreated him, guess what God did? God blessed Joseph more than all of his brothers. Now, we know that one of Joseph's brothers was Judah. And I'm going to give you a nugget, and I'm going to have to move on because this is one of those rabbit trails I'm going across. Let me tell you something very, very significant. We're going to move on because we're preaching about a wall. But Joseph had a brother named Judah. And if you study your Bible, and you can even read in here when Jacob actually began to speak about Judah, he talked about him being a lion's whelp, and he talked about that there would never a scepter depart from his house. Let me tell you the very significance about Joseph going before his people to Egypt to proclaim a life for them by saving the food is that Judah was the son of Jacob who was in the lineage of Christ. You ever thought about that? You see, sometimes you and I, we may think, well, what's God doing? Why is God doing this? God was preserving the line of Christ through sending Joseph down to Egypt. See, sometimes God may be doing things that you and I can't even see. Now, let's look at Joseph. What walls did Joseph have to overcome? Said he went up and over that wall. Number one, let's look at this one. He had to overcome the wall of being accused or being abused during childhood. You know, all of us have these walls, and some of us have different walls than others. But when Joseph was a boy, the 11th of 12 boys, the scripture says his father dearly loved him. So much so that obviously being the son of his father's old age and born of a wife that his father dearly, dearly loved. The brothers looked at him. They hated him. They persecuted him. And yes, they abused him. You see, just as a teenage boy, they took him, threw him into this pit. They were going to kill him. They sold him into slavery. Did not know what was going to come of him. You know, there's a problem today with, and I thought about it, how important it is. And, you know, the reason young people, your mamas and daddies check on you when you go somewhere and they call about you and they put trackers on your phone is they don't want you to come up missing. They don't want you to get hurt. Atlanta is the number one hub for child trafficking and sex trafficking in the world. Amen. They sold Joseph into slavery not knowing what was going to happen to him. Not caring. And that hurts. You see, this wall is hard to get over. Sometimes what happens in our lives is we get hurt when we're young or when we're little or by those that we should be loved by, and we end up holding on to those past hurts so much that what we end up doing is always using them as an excuse for the wall that we can't get over. And sometimes even this, and this is wrong, an excuse for our present behavior. You ever heard anybody do that? They say, well, I wouldn't have been this way if I wasn't treated this way when I was young. Joseph didn't do that. Joseph got over that wall. What about the wall of temptation? All of us face temptation. You say, well, I don't. Be careful. You see, Joseph went down and he was sold to these Ishmaelites. They took him down, sold him into Potiphar, and he was just about, the way I understand it, about 17 years old. And I believe he was a good-looking young man. I believe he had a lot to offer the world, but he was a slave in Potiphar's house. And he gets down here in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar had a wife that probably wished Potiphar was more like Joseph. And she looked at Joseph and she chased him aggressively, asking him to be with her when her husband was gone. I heard a story one time of a young man that went to youth camp, and he was hearing the teacher get up and teach on this subject, and he just kind of smirked and said, well, I know what I'd have done if I'd have Joseph and I'd been mistreated. I just went ahead. You know, that's where the world's at today. Listen, I've been done wrong. I hadn't had things happen the way that I want them to. I might as well just give up. I might as well just do whatever I want to do. I want to tell you something. If you want the promises and the blessings of God, give God something to work with. Amen. Now listen, I didn't know that it was going this way, but I can't help it. I'm just one of those right follow the Spirit, right? Let me tell you something, young men. If you want a good young lady, be a good young man. Young lady, if you want a good young man, be a good young lady. Why you want God to pour something out on you when you ain't giving nothing? Maybe you ought to look at yourself. You don't have to wait till altar call to come to the altar. Amen. You see, the wall is one that some choose to compromise with. They say, if I was in Joseph's position and I'd been sold by my brother, eyes off over there, I figured that God had just forgot about me, and this is where people get. If I'm in this shape, where's God at? God may have you right exactly where he wants you. Right. Until you get obedient to him, you're not coming out. Right. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 12 and 14 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. But God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. For every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13 says this, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. And I like that song. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, folks, remember, everything points to Jesus, okay? The Old Testament still pointed to the cross. And for you and I to have victory today, we're talking about we're going to get to Jesus. What about this wall? The wall about being falsely accused and suffering for doing the right thing. You ever done the right thing and suffered for it? Sometimes people have to make the decision of doing the right thing, knowing that if I do the right thing, I could potentially lose my job. If I do the right thing, I could potentially have to pay this money. If I do the right thing, I might lose people in my life that are my friends. You see, Potiphar's wife, she wanted Joseph. She could not have him. And immediately, just like that, and I've seen this happen with people, her lust turned to hate. And she called for Potiphar, her husband, and said, "You see this coat that was left in my hand? You know why it was left in her hand? Because she had a tiger grip on him." And sometimes in our lives, in order for us to have victory, I want to tell you something, Christian. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been walking with God. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care if you're a preacher. You better know when to run or the devil's going to have you. Amen. The Lord told Peter, he said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." That's why I'm telling y'all, pray for me and Brother Allen. We're in the middle of the battle every day. And I'm not talking about going out and fighting. I'm talking about a burden that's on our heart for this country, for this election, for America, for lost souls, that Satan does not like this kind of preaching. He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But remember, there's no temptation taking you except that which is common to man. And with every temptation, there's made a way of escape." Here it is. Here's what Jesus told Simon. You find it in the 17th chapter of John. Jesus prayed for you. That's not where this verse is at, but the whole 17th chapter of John, Jesus prayed for you. Not that you would be taken out of the world, but you would be kept from being a part of it or the evil of it. But he told Simon this. He said, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." You see, here's Joseph. And he runs, and by doing the right thing, guess what happens to him next? He goes from at least eating good and being clothed good and having a bed to lay in till by doing the right thing, he's sold into slavery by his brothers, then into Potiphar's house. Now he won't defile himself, and he finds himself in prison. I want to tell you something. I got my walls. But I'm looking at Joseph and I'm thinking, "Lord, help me." Now, let's be careful how we judge others. Everybody here's got walls. We got burdens. We got heartaches. We've got losses. We've got sickness. Some of you got family members that are just tearing your heart out. I got walls. And sometimes when I think about my burdens and the walls that I have, and then I get to thinking about this church, and I think about this family, and I think about this family, and I think about this family. You know what I think about? I think about how faithful they are to God, how they're serving God, how they're doing the things that God wants them to do, and they've got all these walls to overcome in their life. And young people, I think about y'all too. I think about how y'all are trying to live for God, how you're trying to serve God, and you end up in a college over there just trying to get an education so you can get a good job, and you get a professor that's so ungodly and defiant, you wonder how they ever even got the ability to teach anybody anything. And then we got people calling themselves politicians and they think they're going to tell me something. They're pagans. Amen. Amen. But sometimes, what happens? You do the right thing, you suffer. It says, "For it is better In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Remember, we're in this world, and this world is cursed. And there's going to be suffering. But the Bible says it's better to suffer for doing the right thing than it is to suffer for doing the wrong thing. Don't you know that Joseph, having the relationship with God that he had, if he had fallen, and sometimes we do, but remember, his grace is enough, okay? I can't preach it all today. Got to stay with this. Imagine if Joseph had fallen. Do you know, and I believe this with all my heart, a Christian that's saved by the grace of God, and you've been close to God, and you know God, when you fall, even though you go and do something you think will bring you satisfaction, you suffer. And a Christian understands this, and I wish the world could understand it, but I believe you got to have a relationship with God to understand this. The loneliest moment in life is when you think you're going to do the ultimate that will give you the ultimate fulfillment, and you find that it does not. That's what happens. We do something. Bible says, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. The Bible says he chastens those he loves. And sometimes it's nothing but this. Being in the presence of God, and God just turns. I don't want to hurt my Lord to the point that he has to turn away from me. I'd rather have the stripes. I'd rather have the belt. I'd rather have the cane. You see, Joseph knew who God was. And let me tell you something. I don't care if you're in prison. I don't care if you're in slavery. If you've got inner peace, you've got something more than most of the world's got. And if you study about Joseph, you find out when he was in Potiphar's house, he had peace with God. When he was in prison, he had peace with God. Even when they forgot him, he had peace with God. The world longs for peace. You're not going to be satisfied with another house, another truck, another wardrobe. It's not going to give you peace. Nothing wrong with all that. I like all that stuff. But it don't give me peace. I got to move. Then he had this wall. Joseph was in prison. God had blessed him with vision, and he interpreted the dream of the butler and the baker. And as he interprets the dream, he tells the butler, you're going to be spared, and when you stand before Pharaoh, would you tell him, would you remember me? Done the right thing again, and they forgot him. 2 years. You ever set goals? 2 years seems like such a long time. I remember I was 35 years old, and I went over to West Georgia. I was going to get me a college education. I didn't get one, okay? I did, but 35, and I said, well, I can take this many classes. They said, well, you know, at that rate, it's going to take you 8 years. I said, 8 years. Then they said to me, well, you know, 8 years are going to pass whether you better yourself or not. Some people need to come to God, but some people need a life coach. Here's Joseph for 2 years. He didn't quit on God. He didn't stop. He just stayed faithful, stayed the course. Now, I got to move on this. I know I'm going long. There's so much going on in the world. I could just preach and preach and preach, but I know y'all can only stand so much, so I'm going to move. I want to give you 3 walls that everybody will encounter. God never meant for you to be stalled by any of these walls, and he wants to help you get over the wall. Number one is the wall of people that get in your way. You know, you got the goofy ones, the nutty ones, the hateful ones, the dysfunctional ones, vengeful, scheming, spiteful, mean, hurtful people. And sometimes they're the closest one to you. And as I was thinking about this morning, you know who they are? It's when you have Thanksgiving dinner and you invite them because you're supposed to, and then when you show up, you look at your wife or your husband and you say, well, they're here now, what do we do? What did Joseph's family do to him? We know. But let's go on and look at what Joseph did for his family. You know, the greatest opportunity you have as a Christian, and this is where it gets real, this is where put on the shoes of Jesus. It's when you get the opportunity for those people who have been mean to you and done you wrong and talked about you and hurt you to show them favor, to love them, to show them grace, to prepare a plate for them. How did Joseph get over this wall? I'll tell you how Joseph got over it, and this is the prayer of Jabez, and this is what I want God to pour on me. Is Joseph had God's favor. He got over the wall because he had favor. Have you ever come to the point in your life that you say, God, if it's going to be done, you're going to have to do it? I do. I'm there a lot. You see, the principle of favor, if you look at this coat that Joseph had, goes all the way back to there. His dad made him this coat of many colors, and it showed the favor that was the beginning. It was the favor of his father Jacob, became the favor of the Lord in Potiphar's house. Then it was the favor of the Lord over the prison from the keeper of the prison. Then it was the favor of the Lord under Pharaoh. He got over that wall because of favor. Then we got this wall, the wall of being wrongfully accused and lied about. Well, we see Joseph in Potiphar's house being lied about. He ends up in prison. Well, how do you get over this wall? Have you ever had somebody do you so wrong that it hurts so bad? And you know as a Christian you're supposed to forgive them, but you can't even think about it. He got over the wall of being wrongfully accused and lied about by this principle, the principle of forgiveness. You ever been done wrong by your family? I'm going to go ahead and tell you, church, y'all are my family, okay? I got a natural family, but this is my church family. And sometimes I feel closer to my church family than I do my natural family. But your family is still your family. I've heard people say, well, I've disowned my son. Or somebody say, well, I've disowned my parents. Well, they're still your parents. Still your son. They took Joseph and they sold him. Didn't know what was going to happen to him. I don't know if they lost any sleep or not. Sometimes I don't understand how the world does the things it does and lays down at night. But Joseph is down here, and unbeknownst to them, God had another plan. And although what was evil to them, and it was evil, God still had the plan to protect the civilization, his people, to prolong the seed of Judah, so that the Lord could come through the tribe of Judah and the seed of David. Years have passed. Joseph looks up. Here come his brothers. By this time, things have changed. He's a second in authority in the kingdom of Egypt, and he could have said, put those right there in prison. They wouldn't have asked. They would have just did it. But I want to tell you how Joseph got over the wall of being wrongfully accused. He forgave them. In fact, he was so moved with compassion when he saw them come in. The scripture says in the book of Genesis chapter 42, 18th to 24th verse, that he had to remove himself from them. And the scripture says that Joseph wept. He prepared a table to dine with them. He blessed them. He finally broke down with the heaviness in his heart. And, oh, this is what we need to be able to do. He broke down and he wept. And he called those to him that have done him the hurt, the pain, the years in prison. And he brought those brothers to him and he got his arms around them and he squeezed them. They couldn't believe he was so forgiven. And he said, tell me about Dad. Is Dad still alive? Is Dad good? Go get him. Bring him back. And he brought him back, and guess what? They didn't go hungry anymore. They didn't do without anymore because the favor that God had given Joseph because of Joseph's faithfulness, now the people that had done him the most wrong in his life, he turned it toward them and he poured it out on them. You and I are going to have walls. Then the last wall, the wall of broken promises. You ever been lied to? Somebody tell you, I promise. I'll remember you when I get out. I promise I'll remember you when I stand before Pharaoh. I promise. You ever felt like things just didn't happen for you like they did for somebody else? The way that Joseph got over this wall is through faithfulness. Now, folks, I want y'all to know, as a pastor, I believe in corporate worship. And I think it's very important that you be in the house of God on Sunday. Because it is important that you be in a place where the Holy Spirit can speak to you and you be in a place where God can use you and guide you. But that is not the end of worship, and you know that. You got that CD player? You know what songs God speaks to you with? When you're sitting out there and I have different people tell me I'm here and I'm there, and, you know, I have some of the best talks with God when I'm in and they name the place. Let me tell you, Joseph had some of the best talks with God from a prison cell. Because even in a prison cell, and I hate to say this, but sometimes it's true. Sometimes that's exactly where some people need to be so that God can get them still enough to talk to them. I don't want to be the one. You know, life is full of crossroads. Let me tell you what happens at a crossroad. If you don't make the right turn, you end up right back where you started. My prayer is at every crossroad, God, help me to make the right decision. So if I'm down a bumpy road and it's rocky and it's hurting and I don't like it, I don't want to go down this road again, dear God. What was Joseph? He was faithful. Even in prison, when he interpreted the dream, you know what Joseph did? He didn't say, I'll trade it to you for this and this. He said, all glory belongs to God. When Joseph stood before Pharaoh and he interpreted the dream and he told him there's going to be 7 years of plenty and then there's going to be 7 years of famine that is so much so that those weak years are going to devour the plentiful years. And God let Pharaoh know who knew the truth. He didn't say, I want the rewards. He said, all glory belongs to God. He gave it to the Lord, and he was faithful, and he was able to get over these walls to the other side of the wall. There are people here this morning, right now, you climb the walls. You ever seen those military things when they take them and they climb the ropes? Y'all ever done that? Now, sometimes I'm getting to where I'm really starting to give a little bit, but, you know, somebody says, hey, can you use that? Oh, I can still do it. Y'all looked at me and said, no way. But in our lives, aren't we? We're climbing those walls. We say, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. God, I don't know how I'm going to get over this. I don't know how things are going to get better. I don't see how in the world you can have a plan for my life. I talked to a man this week, and I'm going to say this, and we're going to get a song. Just met him. Just walked up in the yard to look at a boat. And I started talking to him, and I don't know why, but he just opened up. And he started talking about troubles in his life. He started telling me about things he was going through. He said, just yesterday, I caught my wife with somebody else. He said, and he just sat there on the tailgate and he had his head down. He said, but God's going to help me through it. You know what he's saying? He said, God's going to help me get over that wall. Now, I didn't know everything because we talked a little bit more that God had already showed him how he can help him get over walls. But we talked for a little bit. He's actually a guide on the lake over there. You know, he said, and y'all got folks, y'all got walls. God knows you got walls. He said, you know, a few years ago, my dad got to retire. And I thought he was going to come over here with me, and you know, we was going to live the dream. We was going to guide together. We was going to fish together. He said, just a short time after my dad come, we went out, and my dad fell off the boat, and he drowned. He said, I got so down. He said, I was hurting so bad. I was angry at God. I was angry. Why did this happen? He said, but God was squeezing on me, and God got a hold of me, and God was pulling on me. And you know, I want to thank God that he won't let us go. He said, God kept pulling me, and he pulled me down far enough that I fell to my knees. And he said, I learned that God was my resource and that God was faithful. And he said, right now, he said, when I need to pray, he said, I hit my knees and pray. He said, I can be out on a trip guiding. I can be around people, whatever. He said, if I need to pray, I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. He said, I know I can get over this wall because God got me over that wall. I want you to understand something this morning. God is still faithful. And he can help you get over your walls. But you got to come to him. And I'm preaching you a message this morning that I need. Because I got walls. I'm going to ask Miss Donna if she would to come with a song. God spoke to you this morning. If you're out there listening on Facebook, I tell you, when you can talk to God right now while the Holy Spirit's pulling on your heart. You can pray where you're at. You can pray driving down the road. You can pray in your den or in your kitchen. And if you're here this morning, you can pray in this altar. We're living in a world that's changing every day, but here's what I want you to understand from this message. God has not changed. He's not going to change, and the world cannot change him by doing the things that they do. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't care what else you've got or what else you've done, you need God. You need to be saved, as we say it, by the grace of God, so that you can spend eternity in heaven, because your life is going to be over before you know it. If you're here and you got walls, and I know you got them all over the house, everybody's got them. If we're going to get over them, we're going to get over them with God. Through the principle of favor, his favor, forgiveness, and faithfulness. I ask you to stand to your feet as she sings this song. If you'd like to pray, would you please come?
Overcome. midst of deep sorrow, I see your light is breaking through. The dark of night will not overtake me. God, I'm pressing into you. You've always been faithful. You bring